kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I have a title today I want to share with you, and I think our teaching is going to be an important one in light of what we're facing and seeing and hearing. And our title today is, Whose Roar Will You Listen To? Whose roar will you listen to? Well, I think by that title we're beginning to possibly understand what this is about. You see, there are two lions, and these two lions are in conflict. These two lions are territorial, and these two lions want to win. But like any fight, there is only one who will win that territory. And we know who that lion is. It is Jesus. But we also know that there is another lion, and that is the enemy. But that lion is fake. And that's why I'm calling this teaching, Whose Roar Will You Listen To? You see, it's interesting because, as I said, there are two lions. Now, the lion that we're going to look at first is indeed, as written up, is the Lion of Judah. And there are two images of the names of God, his attributes through Jesus Christ. And these two attributes are powerful and majestic as a lion. And the other aspect of Jesus Christ is innocent as a sacrificial lamb. You see, we need to understand that Jesus came as a descendant of King David through the line of Judah, who was to rule over Israel until the time when Israel sadly went into captivity into Babylon. You see, all of this points to Jesus, who will be king forever. And his kingship is revealed by the scepter that he holds. And we're told that that scepter will never depart, being the symbol, of course, of his kingly rulership and authority. And this is why he's referred to as the lion. And I want us just to look at some scriptures here to confirm this. I'm sure we know all of these, but in Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 11 and verses 1 to 2 of Isaiah chapter 11, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So it says that there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. And of course, King David came from his father, from the line of Jesse. And we know that that set the bloodline for Messiah to come to rule and reign on the earth. We also see in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 8, Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 8, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, really the one that. Zechariah 3, verse 8. Sorry for that. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch. So, the branch being the genealogy from Jesse coming forth, this is what it speaks of. And it's interesting that Jesus, Messiah, is seen in the book of Revelation in chapter 5. And here again we get a wonderful image of Jesus Christ now risen, seated in glory in heaven. And listen to what he's referred to again in Revelation chapter 5 and verses 1 to 3. And this is where it speaks of the Lamb that takes the scroll, because he's the only one who can open this scroll. Nobody else can. And here it is. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. Of course, it speaks of the seven churches, because this book, the book of Revelation, is written to seven Gentile churches. And if you don't get that right, your interpretation and understanding of this book will falter. Because many today expositors speak of this book, the book of Revelation, it is to Israel. It is not. It is to seven Gentile churches. Then I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." There we are. It's describing his kingship. It's describing what he, how he has overcome this, the world, how he overcame the powers of darkness, and he still holds the scepter, the Root of David. He has prevailed. He's endured. He's overcome. He's the only one that is able to open and loose the scroll, the seven seals. And he's from the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So there we are. He's seen as that lion. And Satan always tries to counterfeit what God does. And remember that in your battles. Remember that in your overcoming and so on. The enemy always counterfeits. Well, what does it say then in 1 Peter chapter 5? We're looking at scripture first just to clarify these two lions, these two sounds, these roars. We're clarifying first the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 to 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And so it goes on. So what does he try to do? He tries to weaken our faith. By what? By making a noise, roaring. The enemy is very good at stirring up, making a noise, causing trouble. That's how he works. We're told that the roar of a lion can be heard several miles away when it roars. And it is a very big sound. And the reason it's a big sound, because he wants to afflict fear. And when he inflicts fear, he inflicts also confusion. And boy, are we seeing that at the moment on planet Earth, amongst the nations, with what is going on with this plague. And that's all he can do, is make a noise, a sound. And those sounds seem very threatening. Those sounds can seem very controlling. Those sounds try to put fear within us, but we have God's word. And that's why he says to resist him steadfast in the faith. And that's why we preach faith. For that very reason, you can overcome as Jesus overcame, by the word of God, by the sword of the Spirit. That is the way you defeat this lion who can just roar. But he does not have the power, the authority that Jesus has, that lion of Judah. And there is the difference. That's why I said at the beginning, he always counterfeits what God tries to do. Well, we have some very interesting words here, because it says, firstly, to be sober. So what is our understanding of being sober? Well, it means to be mentally alert. It means that we're to have that self-control. And that is why we're in the army of God, being trained. And that's what he does. By that training, by going through that drill each day, which soldiers are to do, he's making us mentally alert. He's working within us that self-control which is needed to go into combat, to go into warfare, so that we are subject to authority and we don't question what they tell us or ask us to do. The same with God. We don't question. That's why we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as somebody reminded me the other day of what I taught a while back, are we willing to do God's will? That's the question, because if you're not, don't pray it. And that's what we're being trained for. So he uses that word, to be sober. And then there's another word, to be vigilant. Very interesting word. And that means to be watchful. It means that we're to be awake. We're alert. We're not going to sleep. And that's why we make much about the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, the 5 foolish. The wise, they have something about them. They're vigilant. They are watchful. They're awake, they're alert, and they realize that in order to be awake, to be alert, to be watchful, you need that extra anointing oil in that vessel, which they had. They paid the price. Whereas the foolish virgins, they realize when the midnight call goes out, their lamps are going out. They haven't enough light. In other words, they haven't the fuel, the oil. And so they ask for this oil. We know the parable. But the wise say to them, we haven't enough to give you, but go and get it where we bought it from. And where do you buy it from? You buy it in prayer, in the word, in commitment, faithfulness, coming to the meetings, hearing the word. You see, you don't get this overnight. It's a growth. And something within one is watchful, because we're discerning the signs and the times. We know that the Lord Jesus is coming soon to take the church away, the rapture. It's being revealed to us because we're awake, we're alert. And that is what he's telling us here, so that we don't fall subject to the roaring of Satan. No, he can't destroy us. Those roaring sounds can't destroy, but what they can do is cause confusion and fear. And you will always run away if there's fear and confusion. You won't be able to stay in the front line. And that's why he's putting that soberness within us, so that we are mentally alert, that we have that self-control. Did you know that a lion, if it comes after you and sees you as prey, did you know that you can be protected from a lion? A lion will attack when you're running away. It sees you as prey. But if you stand firm and don't move, that beast will come running up to you and suddenly will stop. And it will stop because it doesn't understand why you're not running away from it. It's in the nature of cats to attack when it sees something that moves. Have you ever had a cat? A kitten? Well, have you ever watched when you rustle something or you push it along? It runs after it. It tries to attack. That's its nature. And so that is the same with the great beast, the king of the animals. It will come up and it will stand firm and it won't know what to do because you are not running. You don't have fear. And yet every time when the devil growls, we run away. And Christians are running away, burying their heads in the sand, hoping it's going to go away. And it isn't. It isn't. And that's why, sadly, the woman will be left when the overcomers go up in the rapture. And then she will realize she cannot continue to bury her head any longer in the sand. It's happened. I've missed the rapture. I didn't take heed when the Spirit was speaking to the church. We can see it all being set before us. This isn't rocket science, brothers and sisters. And so there we are. Peter clearly speaks how we resist those roars by being sober, by being vigilant and standing firm, not running away, which is exactly what the enemy wants you to do. But we stand firm, and when that mighty beast runs towards us, we don't give it fuel to attack, but we stand. And he will suddenly stop in his tracks. What does it say in 1 John 4:24? John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You have overcome. You're not only an overcomer, but you have overcome. You have the victory. Every time we stand firm, every time we pray, every time we read the Word of God, every day that's given to us as a gift, you have overcome. You stand always in victory. And we need to experience that. And the only way we experience that is when God allows us at times to experience the roar of the enemy. How will you know otherwise? God has got this completely under control. Trust me. He knows what he's doing. You see, God is much more powerful than Satan or Lucifer. Remember, he was created. God isn't created. He always has been, always will be. He's uncreated eternal spirit. There never was a time when he was not. That isn't with Satan. He is also created. He is subject under the authority of that real lion, the Lion of Judah. And he tried to take the territory away from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords by tempting Adam, Eve. But Christ has restored that territory again. He rules and reigns. He is seated on the throne. And he has given you that authority and power in his name. Brothers and sisters, I want just to remind you again of what our Lord Jesus Christ gave to the disciples. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. Luke chapter 9. We tend to forget scriptures like this. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all dominion and to cure diseases. He gave them authority over demons, over diseases, sickness, and everything. In other words, he's giving them dominion. He's showing them the dominion he's going to give to the church, to the overcomers. It's all here. And what did he do then? He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And the only way you can have dominion, the only way you can rule over the powers of darkness is when you are given the truth. Because Jesus said, if you know the truth, then the truth shall set you free. And so many of our brothers and sisters don't really want that truth to set them free. And that is why they run back. They are fearful. It is fear that will always cause us to retract. And that is what God is delivering us from. And that is why at the time of Pentecost, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit was sovereign over the church, and not some man or pope. That is why the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. And the church is so often strengthened when it's persecuted. Why? Because persecution causes the church to stand firm and not retract, which is what the devil wants. That's why we're up against principalities, powers, dominions. What does it say? Let's remind ourselves again in Ephesians 6. I know I did a teaching on this a few years ago, and if you've not heard it, then go on our website and you can listen to the series of our spiritual warfare. But just looking at this back in Ephesians 6, from verse 10 onwards, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and not only in the Lord, but in the power of his might. So it's not only knowing the Lord, understanding the Lord from the word of God, but it's experiencing also the power of his might. That is to be experienced through the baptism of the Spirit. His power that he gives you. the very power that raised him from the dead, the power that triumphed at the cross at Calvary, is the power that he gives us. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In other words, the trickery, his lies. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, you see. And we know what these powers are. These principalities are angels, fallen angels, who have power, control over nations and mold the different nations in the way that they are. This is why when you travel abroad, you see different cultures, different ways, different styles, different languages. That's what that is. That's how they mold them. You've got the Tower of Babel to thank for that. When man wanted to become like God, and God cast it down and judged it, and the nation scattered, and the languages changed. That's what we're dealing here with. We come against these principalities, these powers and rulers of darkness. And they're fed, these powers and darknesses are fed through sin, through rebellion of the nations. And so when the power of God comes, or when there's a revival, these powers can't feed so much. They're made redundant because the power of God is moving and saving. And when the Spirit of the Lord is not there, then they start to become powerful again. And why does this happen? Because Christians are not praying and interceding and warring as they should. And because the church now is in the state that it is, the nations are becoming godless, pagan. These darknesses, rulers, spiritual wickednesses now are taking hold. And that's why we saw through this revolution that took place back in the 60s and 70s and early 80s of the drug revolution, the sexual revolution, these powers were starting to take over because it was feeding it. Praise God, you're a new creation. You're being delivered. You're being set free. You don't feed any of this anymore like you once did. And so God opens our eyes to see what our warfare is against. And this is why I keep saying to you, when we get into intercession, we get into warfare, particularly as a church, we are pushing back these powers for the will of God to be done through our lives and through the church, to get the man-child to be birthed. Because the dragon who's right there in Revelation 12, he's trying to stop this. He's trying to abort it. We will get this eventually. It will drop from our heads to our hearts, what God's doing. And what are we seeing now coming as a result of all of this? We're seeing technology now beginning to take over. AI, artificial intelligence, starting to take over. We are seeing these technologies, AI, hybridizing with human beings for the purpose to defy God, to rebel against God. The crown of God's creation, man in his image. Let us make man in our image. The powers of darkness want to blaspheme God and are using human beings to do it. And here it's coming forth through technology and artificial intelligence. This is why God is opening our eyes to all of this. And I know it's hard. And we know the powers of darkness are fighting against this. We're seeing political turmoils around the world now. We're seeing governments, leaders. We're seeing insanity coming from these leaders now. Insane things. They are lost. They are confused. Satan is setting the stage for the Antichrist to come forth. And they will welcome him with open arms, because he will have the power, the logic, the wisdom to be able to put all this mess right. That's what's happening, brothers and sisters. And that's why we're not a part of it. We're separate from it. He's called us out. And God's opening our eyes to see for the ready purpose for prayer, intercession, warfare. That's what this is all about. And here it was. Jesus showed this to the disciples in Luke 9, verses 1 to 2. He gave them the power, authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick. He was teaching spiritual warfare. And he's given you that same authority and power in his name. And that is why the devil roars like he does. Because he's still trying to convince you he's God. But hallelujah, the Lord has overcome him. No, you stand firm, and that charging lion that's coming towards you will suddenly stop short and will turn away. And that's what it does. And so this resist that Peter speaks of, it means to stand still, don't panic. Whatever it looks like, whatever you're hearing, whatever you're seeing, whatever it is, stand still. Don't panic. God will fight for you. God raises a standard against the enemy. And he does it on the basis that you stand still and watch God work. It's when we try to take over. It's when we meddle and interfere that it hinders all of this. And our meddling is a sign of fear and unbelief. And we all do it at times. Because we still want to be in control. And we're not. That's the whole point. The more you meddle, the more you try to control, the more you will go out of control. Trust me. What does it say as we bring this to a conclusion then? In 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's find this. Sorry about this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Wow, listen to that confession through the apostle. I have fought the good fight. How did he win that fight? How did he win the race? He did it by standing firm. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. In other words, I've been faithful. And there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but all to all who have loved his appearing. It's loving his appearing. And that's what it's about now. We're all looking up for the appearing of the Lord. Look up, for your redemption draws near, you see. And I believe, as I close now with this, that God is using the circumstances that we're in. He's using now, as we hearing these terms and words of the New World Order and so on. All of this is that we to look up, because our redemption is drawing nigh. And we are in a spiritual warfare. We are in a fight. But brothers and sisters, the Lord shows us clearly we've already won the victory. It is already done. It's finished. We are the only people that fight and war on victory ground. Think about that. Never lose sight of that. However it looks, however it feels, however loud the enemy is, I stand on ground that's already won. I am victorious in Christ Jesus. And you get that from your head to your heart, and God will be able to use you mightily in these last days, because that's what he wants us to do. And God is giving us great authority and power in prayer. And that's why the enemy hates this, because it's binding his hold. And we're able to loosen those ministering angels who will give charge, who will war, who will prepare the ground, the way, for the man-child to come forth. The enemy is not stupid. But we've looked at these words to be sober, which means to be alert, self-control. We've looked at this, the other words, to be vigilant, which means to be watchful, awake, and so on. And then we prevail, and we stand, and we just watch God work in the way that he does. You do not have to run away. So the question is, whose roar will you listen to? You can decide on that. I know the roar that I want to listen to, and he is the Lion of Judah. And he's already won his territory. Father, we thank you for your word of encouragement today. You are showing us so clear that we stand not in our own strength, but in the power and might of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we've also won that victory. And that every trial and test that we go through, the victory is won. All the enemy is doing is roaring, making a noise, or using situations or people. But Father, we thank you that as Jesus triumphed and overcame the cross, so we too triumph and overcome.
Follow the master.